This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Okay, welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. This is another lockdown episode. I'm speaking to Roomage and our guest via, well, our little app that we've got, and also through Zoom, so we can see each other, can't we? How are you, Rupert?
I'm good.
Well, first of all, I'm not looking at your place, am I?
No, I've gone to a friend's place up the road just to get out of it.
Okay, and
away. We've got the keys to all their plants, so I thought I'd come here today and work. And it's been quite nice, actually.
It's just good to get that clarified, because I'd hate for you to be accused of sort of breaching the government kind of regulations and stuff, just for the sake of...
Is that a breach, do you think, to go into a house like 5 minutes away?
Well, if your friends were there, it would be a breach.
Yeah, no,
I know. Now that they're away, I think that's fine.
Okay.
But what I mean is, the distance that the house is away makes no difference whether it's a breach or not. If you're visiting someone that lives close to you, that's still wrong. You know that, right?
Yeah.
I do know that.
Okay. I got invited by a friend. He said he wanted me to come over last night for a drink.
Are you fucking joking? So what was your response to that?
I was like, of course not. I'm not fucking doing that. And I heard from him this morning, he had a big night, did pills and everything.
So Jesus.
Bizarre.
Well, we are delighted to have him on with us on the podcast.
Yeah.
He's had a night on the pills. We are joined by Hugo Chegwin. Hello, Hugo. How you doing, mate?
Hello. Yeah, good, man. How are you?
Not bad.
Quite quiet.
I can see... Pardon?
Is he quite quiet, or is he sounding good?
He's quite quiet for me, yeah. He's quite quiet.
I can crank it.
Oh, nice.
Crank it
right up.
Yeah. Have you been doing any cranking in the house you've been sitting in, Rupert?
Have you been doing cranking, Rupert?
No, it's only 2:30.
Oh, you're not a daytime?
No.
No,
I wait till the sun goes down.
Yeah.
Would you guys ever crank like first thing as soon as you get up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about I'm showering.
No. What, with your partner?
I wouldn't wake her up with my movement. No, like that. No.
You're a very still cranker.
What, Hugo, you doing a shower?
Before.
Oh, God, thank God. I was about to fucking cut this.
Yeah.
That's absolutely...
No, I'm not. I do it before, clean it all up, good to go.
Nice.
Yeah.
When Lisa and I first got together, we were on holiday in Canada. We were staying at my uncle's place. And then one morning, on the last day, I woke up and like Lisa was like being really funny with me. And I couldn't figure out why. And I was just like, you're right. She goes, yeah, I'm fine. But she was like being a bit off key. And eventually I just said to her, look, I know there's something going on. What's the problem? And apparently she said she felt a bit weird around me, because in the middle of the night she was woken up by me, still fast asleep, just wanking furiously, but completely asleep.
Some of your best acting that morning.
Good dream. Great dream, though.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry, Lisa. I just dreamt about your mum. Awful.
We all have our niches, man.
But yeah. So, Hugo, how's life treating you during lockdown?
Yeah, good. I've got a one-year-old, so it's quite intense.
Is a one-year-old that... Is it difficult not being able to go out with a one-year-old? Does that make that much more intense?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, we do take him for a walk for our daily allowed sort of hour. Yeah. And... yeah, it is quite intense. It's kind of like a bit of a torture camp because of the nursery rhyme, Bob the Train.
Yeah.
He loves it.
That repetition that you're exposed to more than you were before.
It just stuck in my head, all these horrible...
We're the Wiggles. Have you checked out the Wiggles?
No, do I want to?
No, don't get involved.
Or torture.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
just repetitive nursery rhyme.
Yeah, I want to fast track it about 4, then we can...
Just the shit you can watch.
Yeah, then I can be...
My kids are hammering Fortnite, man. They're just fucking non-stop on Fortnite. They're at that age. It's just insane. In slaughtering insurgents left, right and centre. It's crazy.
Are they up till 4 a.m?
No, but they've been getting up at 6 a.m. Like, right, wanting to play. And we've had to say to them, look, can you just... You've got to understand you can't be like that. You've got to just chill out a bit. And then what you got, you can't start the day at 6 a.m. playing Fortnite. So what they started doing now is they've started waking up and then standing over our bed watching us for just the vaguest glimmer that we might be waking up, so then get permission to go and play Fortnite. It's fucking terrifying. Just to open your eyes and see a kid just stood over you.
Ready to play game.
Oh my God. We would like to play a game. All right, freaky. Fuck off.
Do you restrict their use or just let them hang all day on it?
Well, it's been an ongoing problem for us because the truth is, if you let them play all day, you're going to have a much easier day.
Yeah, definitely.
But at the same time, if they're playing that 8 hours a day, every day, during lockdown, I mean, what the fuck is the end product of that when we release back out? They're going to want real guns and just head out into the streets.
Yeah, and building sheds in the sky.
Have you been managed to get any work done and stuff?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, but the Zoom calling, I have to limit it because I have a short attention span, and
right,
8 hour Zoom work calls are just,
it's a bit more exposing as well, isn't it? People are like really focusing on you.
Yeah.
Being watched more than you would in like a normal meeting.
Yeah,
if you're doing an 8 hour Zoom meeting,
yeah,
and you want to shit,
I just go, man.
You just go. But
I
then
just bring the laptop with me and
just let them see the real you.
They really get to know who I am. Yeah, because that's what this is about, you know.
Yeah.
Letting people you work with know your shitting habits.
Yeah, I find all of that very anxious. Anyway, Hugo, thanks for coming on the podcast, man.
Yeah, thanks now, for having me. I'm a fan.
Oh, thank you very much. Now, the truth is, obviously people will know you from People Just Do Nothing.
Barely.
But your background is not just acting, is it? I mean, you've got a pretty good music lineage as well, right?
Yeah, I guess. Luckily, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, you've
done proper shit, right? I mean...
Oh, yeah, yeah. God. No, yeah, I have. I've done Emily Sandé stuff, Sam Smith, Mary J. Blige.
So what did you do? Do you produce their stuff?
Yeah, luckily. I don't know how, but I did.
How did it come about?
So basically, I haven't done it in a while, but I was making like rap beats in my bedroom since I was like probably like 15. And then when I was probably about 22, my mate from school worked at Virgin and just started to send me opportunities. So that's how I got the Emily thing, and he then managed Sam Smith, so that's how I got that. And yeah, that was it, really.
And then how does that work? Do you get in the studio with them, or do you send them stuff and then they let you know if they like it?
Yeah, no, I got into all those sessions bar Mary J. Blige were all just in the room, basically.
Right.
But it wasn't really what I wanted to be doing, to be honest.
Right.
Like, I don't listen to pop music.
Yeah.
So I feel I was kind of pushed into a world that I knew nothing about, and I did stopped enjoying it.
And then were you hoping this is going to be a gateway into like doing stuff that you actually liked?
Yeah.
And did you try and make that happen?
I did try and make it happen, but I felt like maybe I was forcing it, and I was kind of forcing those opportunities, and I was a bit underprepared for them when they sort of came. And I'm probably wrong in this, but American rappers, when you send them a track, basically it's done. Like, whereas here you kind of send a singer or a songwriter type person an idea, and then you can kind of build around it. But like, I worked with Joey Badass, what I like to call him. Yeah, and there were just loops, and he was like, he's just used to being sent full tracks. So we did something, it never came out, but
And was that in the room with him?
Yeah, it was, actually.
What was he like?
Yeah, he's a really nice guy, man. Really cool.
Lives up to his name, I guess.
Oh, he's a badass boy. Yeah, he was cool.
What were the Sam Smith... What were those tunes? Were they, like, big chart... Like, did they chart really highly?
No, Sam Smith was, like, an albumy kind of...
No, right.
It's called Nirvana. And Emily, I did Heaven and Next to Me, which changed my life.
Fucking hell.
That's big.
Yeah. God bless Emily Sandé. She funds me still.
Does it still pay? Yeah, still
not
pay.
Not like, you know, but nice. It's great. I yeah, love her. Sure, she doesn't like me that much, but I love her. At the time, I was like, this song is so shit next to me.
Honestly, did you not think you must be able to tell it's catchy and it could take off, right? Did that, or do you not feel that at the time?
I wasn't sure. So at that time, I was proper 90s crime rap guy, and I was like,
right,
this is moist. Like, I'm not going to listen to this, like, in my own time. And even the A&R guy, he was like, he was quite excited about it. And I was like, are you sure, man? This is, I don't know. I feel like you're wasting your time with this song.
That must be so exciting for an A&R to see somebody who's made the tune being that indifferent about it. It must really give them a buzz. You know what I mean?
I made it with my friend Harry, and we were kind of like, yeah, but whatever you want to do, really. There wasn't much, like, we weren't in love with it. So yeah, cool. Like, you can give it to someone else to finish if you want. I don't care. Like, he was like, no, you guys can do it.
Mm.
And then didn't really realise. And then afterwards was like,
wow,
shit, this is, I'm getting a lot of emails about this. This is good.
And then it changed your life.
Yeah.
Here's a little bit that you like to call, how did you get into hip hop?
Your background is obviously hip hop's your first love. What, how did you get into it all? And what were you listening to? How did it start off?
Well, when I was in school and stuff, it was mainly like, you know, proper British jungle, garage, grime.
Yeah.
And I had Dex and was obsessed with it. And then after school, like, kind of when that died, smoking too much, got into like the Neptunes and Timbaland,
right,
and NERD, and was, you know, very much a virgin, relating to Pharrell. Definitely not. Yeah, got obsessed with it. Like, wow, this is different. Like, it just felt fresh. And then that's when I went on my hip hop discovery journey.
Did you move away from garage and stuff like
that? Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I felt like it kind of got uncool at that time. And when you're like 16, being uncool is like not what you want to be.
Illegal.
Yeah. So I just got on Timbaland, Neptunes, but then I discovered all the people that they worked with, and then just went on an absolute journey that's never stopped.
Wow. That's so lovely.
It's a lovely ending.
It is lovely, yeah. But obviously, if you listen to NERD and Timbaland, and also the fact that your background is production, you're brought into that by the production of those, of that music, right? Because obviously it's,
initially,
it sounds incredible, right?
Yeah, I was like, fucking hell, this shit bangs, like, the sounds they're using. I wasn't making music really at that time. Like, I was like, loops, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand anything.
Right.
But I was just like, I want to make stuff exactly like this.
Yeah.
Bad, cheap Timbaland beats.
Have you still got some?
Oh, yeah, still what I do.
Is Timbaland, because I know fuck all about producing. But I know that Timbaland has done some amazing shit. Is he, knowing what you know about production now, is he as good as you initially thought he was in terms of what he does and how he manipulates stuff?
Yeah, definitely. I guess as times change, though, your taste changes. Like, I still love Timbaland. He still excites me, but just that interest in production, like, changed as I got older.
The problem with Timbaland, like NERD, like, their stuff's great. Timbaland, his stuff is great, but when you listen to his album, his rapping is as shit as his production's good, isn't it? I mean, it is fucking appalling, isn't it?
Yeah, he's not great. And his mate Magoo was not good.
Oh my God. I mean, he made Magoo sound like fucking Doom, and Magoo's shit. Like,
he definitely gave Magoo he really hooked his mate up.
Yeah, Magoo. I bet Magoo was walking around going, like, everyone thinks I'm shit. And then he dropped some bars on a chat with Timbaland. It's like, oh, fucking hell, this guy makes me sound like a 10. I'm definitely going to carry on working with this guy.
I think I'm going to keep working with Tim. Something about him.
I still got his albums, like, and like with all the other vocalists on, they're great. All those tunes are great.
Yeah.
But then it's every time he decides he's going to do a verse, It's just like, fucking hell, man.
Yeah, yeah. And Timbaland's gone on some weird journeys, like pop stuff, and I don't know.
Because I don't know if you follow him on Instagram now, but he's sort of, every now and again, he sort of posts up a beat that he's just worked up in his house. Or whatever.
Yeah, that's
it. And every single time I watch it, I get shocked by how much bigger he's got. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But in a good way.
Rack your brains. Give it some thought. What was the first hip-hop album you bought?
So do you remember the first hip-hop album you got that you were really into?
Yeah, it was definitely a 3 for $10 situation at HMV.
nice.
That's a good deal.
Yeah, it was DMX. I think it was Flesh on My Flesh.
Yeah. If I'm gonna rob, I'ma rob all night. If I'm looking for something, it's probably a fight. If I'm going fuck bitches, then they better be tight. If that's dead, then the head better be right. If I got to play, I'ma play till I win. Since I got to be here, can't wait to begin. Wanna fuck shorty, can't stand shorty friend. Cause honey friend, fuck many, many men. Stay with the Jay-Z, the one with him. Is that your bitch? Can't remember the album name.
Volume 3.
Yeah, that's it. I don't love him, I fuck him, I don't chase him, I duck him, I replace him with another one. You had to see, she keep calling me big, and my name is Jay-Z, she was all of my dick. Gradually, I'm taking over your bitch, coming over your shit. Got my feet up on your sofas, man, I'm eating posters from an open hand. You coming home to dish it, and if you sold the cans, I got your bitch up. And I definitely remember having Shine album, because I worked at an indoor child's play centre, soft play, and it was in the CD player. And someone must have hit it, and it was a normal day. And the intro, the intro to the album, I can't say it. I'm not the right race to say it. But that came blaring through the speakers.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Dear America, I'm only what you made me. Young, black, and fucking crazy. Please save me. I'm dying inside. Can't you see it in my eyes?
It was a good album as well.
Shine was like, sick. Everybody got so excited about Shine just because he sounds like Biggie. Right?
Yeah, he was going to be the next Biggie.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was even rumours that he'd done some of the bars on Born Again.
Really?
Like, you know, yeah, well, because when Tupac died, there were so many albums coming out, like, because Tupac had been so prolific and been making, and Biggie hadn't been. You know, there's no, it's not a criticism, it's just, you know, he just wasn't doing it the same way. I mean, it took ages for them to bring out Born Again. And they were just like, and also some of the tracks were just like Biggie sort of, Biggie sort of does half a lyric and then like Diddy jumps in, do you know what I mean, or whatever. So like there was this rumour that like they'd got Shine to just fucking, not just ghostwrite, actually perform as Biggie. Have you stayed a fan of DMX?
Yeah.
What's your take on DMX now? Is DMX somebody who wasn't great in hip hop and you can still respect that, or somebody that you're a bit embarrassed about being into? I mean, genuine question.
No, I love DMX. I wouldn't listen to new DMX. I don't know. It doesn't excite me, but he's a G, man. I think he changed the landscape, I feel, at that time. And Swizz Beatz. Like, those two together are amazing. I love the dog.
I think he's great. Like, when you go back and listen to that stuff, it's fucking wicked.
I think my mum was burned when she heard it in my room. Like, what is this guy up to now?
Well, that's what I was going to say, because I would say of almost any rapper, he's the rapper that you'd feel the most embarrassed about playing around people that weren't into hip-hop. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I put on a DMX record and my wife is listening, I know that she would just... She would almost get angry with me for thinking that this was a thing to listen to. Do you know what I mean?
You would turn it down at the lights still, maybe.
Yeah, the barking and all that shit. She's just like, there's no fucking way she's going to have that. Do you know what I mean? What sort of stuff did you get into after that?
After that, after the Neptunes kind of stuff, I then just got deep into like producers like Pete Rock, Premier, Jay Dilla, Swizz Beatz. I just broadened my musical landscape. I really like Talib Kweli, Mos Def, The Roots.
Yeah.
I like everything, to be honest. Like, I wasn't like, at that time, there was like, maybe sort of conscious hip hop was a thing. And then it was like, sort of street stuff. But I didn't pick a side.
You didn't have a snobbery about it at all?
Nah, not at all. I'm still like that as well, I think. Like, with new stuff and whatever. Like, as long as it's good and it's not too serious. I wasn't really into, there was a time when it was like quite
message.
Yeah, messagey, political kind of post 9/11, it got a bit weird.
Yeah.
But you'd always try and put across the front that you were really into it, and you got, you
yeah,
got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I got you. I got it.
During that period, were you making hip-hop? Were you producing?
Yeah, basically mimicking what I was into, like trying to make like sort of two-note roots tracks. And
yeah,
I was just trying to mimic it all really badly.
But could you see yourself getting better and better over time? Or
yeah, maybe a little bit. But I never thought I was great, because there are just so many super producers. That was the time of the super producer as well, I think. Like Justin, it's Kanye, Dilla and stuff. So, and it's very American and sort of like an English guy trying to, I don't know, I was just a bit, I just did it for fun, really.
Yeah.
Are you saying that in hindsight? Or at the time were you thinking, I don't understand why I'm not getting the same fucking respect as Dilla. This is a ridiculous.
No, I think I knew. I think obviously, like with people in the area, like rappers and stuff, like I was giving them beats and just kind of not really expecting much from it. But obviously, they think I'm going to change the world with this. I think they realised that's not going to happen. You know, handing out CDs and West Dealing High Street.
Did you do that? Were you that guy?
I didn't do it, but they did.
People still do that, don't they? It's like when we went to that Kano thing, Rob, and they were handing them out. There was a dude handing out CDs to the queue, and you're like, "What are you going to get out of this?"
I know, Hugo. You're not a fan. You're shaking your head.
No way. I feel like I'm a. An international magnet for those guys and drug dealers. they love me, but they never get my money. So
hold on, do you not like the CD guys?
No, I don't.
Okay, go on. What?
Also, no one has CD players anymore, do they? To play,
can't listen to it. I don't know what you're going to get from it. Maybe, obviously, apart from like £5 or £2.
I've bought those CDs in the past, and I'm yet to listen to one.
Yeah,
ever. So essentially, what I'm doing is I'm essentially making a donation to this guy.
Yeah,
that is what's happening, because I've got no intention of ever listening to that thing.
For him burning CDs, that's that.
Yeah,
but they're hoping that someone's the right person's going to hear it. Sure. And they're going to get picked up or not, do you think?
I think what it is that in the past that worked. You know, like you hear stories of like Too Short used to sell his albums out of his car and shit like that, and then created a buzz and then became like a proper mainstream star or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's what that used to work. There is a model for that, but that is not going to. There's no fucking way that's going to. Well, first of all, there's so many reasons why it's not going to work. First of all, I'm not going to go and find my CD player to listen to. I mean, that's the first thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to come home from a gig and think, what the fuck is this in my pocket? Oh, yeah, it's that CD that I bought of that guy so that he'd stop talking to me. Let me go find my CD player so I can check out what this is like. Okay, so this is absolute fire.
Well, why don't they update it? Like, just have a QR code.
Yeah, a USB stick.
Yeah, even that, though. Like, no one uses USB sticks anymore.
Yeah.
Just hand someone a piece of a URL, maybe, on a QR piece of paper.
Code. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah.
Have you been following the producer battles? Like, you know, did you watch Primo versus the RZA?
I haven't watched the Primo RZA one, but I watched Swizz Beatz Timbaland.
I didn't watch that one. Was it good?
Yeah, Swizzy's sick. I think he killed it.
Really? And was that the general consensus as well?
I think so. Timbaland was just kind of playing like pop instrumentals and stuff, and Swizz Beatz was just going hard, just screaming Showtime on everything. It was a vibe.
You watched the whole thing, like, how long was it?
That one wasn't too bad. It was like 45 minutes.
Yeah, because the Primo RZA one was, what, 2 hours or something? 2.5 hours, maybe?
Yeah, no one's going to sit and watch that. Skim it.
Yeah, it's a skimmer. Although, sometimes I feel like RZA's beats are, like, obviously he has some classics, Stand the Test of Time, Wu-Tang, like, he's a G.
Yeah.
But some of them are quite weird, like, a bit...
Yeah, I would agree with
inaudible,
that.
Inaudible, I don't know, like... quite draining, whereas Primo's just smooth.
Yeah,
it'd be quite good actually. It does make me think though, because I just based it off you saying that, Primo's worst beats are infinitely better than RZA's worst beats.
Yeah,
so I think they should do a battle where like they pick their shittest stuff. That's a true test of a producer, right?
Yeah,
this is the stuff I just shat out on a project I don't care about.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
This for the money. Let's go.
What's your feelings on Kanye? Are you a big Kanye fan?
Yeah, I love Kanye. He's sick. He's a G, man. He's mental.
So most people, when you say, do you like Kanye? They go, yeah, I did like Kanye. Like, I was watching Yoda did, like, he's been doing these Insta Live mixes.
Yeah.
And he put on this really old, I don't think I'd even heard it before, this really old Kanye record from like when he was like super young.
Yeah.
Lyrically, he was amazing. I mean, I know his production was amazing, but he could properly rap. He can rap, yeah. Do you know what I mean? But he did then more than he does now properly. And everybody was going, I miss this Kanye. I miss this Kanye. Click a like if you really miss this Kanye. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's how almost everyone feels. But you don't feel like that. Are you a universal Kanye lover?
Yeah, yeah. I feel like he evolves like everyone. And he's still interesting. And he's always just like exciting. You don't know what you're going to get. Like the Religious album. Like what? And yeah. It's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And he goes in on them as well. I think I just find him exciting. Like you never know what you're gonna get. He's unpredictable, and like he doesn't have to do something for such a long time. And whatever he does will impact like culture massively.
Yeah, I mean, it is an amazing thing to make a religious album that had the impact that album did. I mean, I know people yeah. reacted to it. A lot of people were like, "Oh, fuck this." But a lot of people are like, oh, this is actually great.
Yeah. Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you push your buttons like type right. This is like a movie, but it's really very lifelike. Every single night, right? Every single fight, right? I was looking at the gram and I don't even like lights. I was screaming at my daddy, told me it ain't Christ-like. I was screaming at the referee, just like Mike. Looking for a bright light. Seagull, what your life like? Riding on a white.
Normally, you'd hear that and you go, I've got no interest in even listening to that. To see what it's like. Do you know what I mean? There's so many other artists. Have you heard, you know, even artists that you really like, have you heard they were doing like
Timbaland?
Yeah, if Timbaland did a Christian album, I don't know if I'd check that
yeah,
out.
Yeah, same. I wouldn't listen to Malice's religious rap song.
Exactly, yeah. Even if Malice went vegan, I don't think I'd want to hear that record. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Anything like that. But Kanye, do you think, it's fair to say, isn't it, that if Kanye wasn't making all these left turns, if he was still making records like his first album, like College Dropout,
yeah,
he wouldn't be as big as he is now, would he?
Or, no, I don't think so. I feel like he would just be like, have a classic album and be good at that style of track.
Yeah,
he's sick in the way that he reaches out to like different producers from different parts of the world and doing exciting, weird, not predictable stuff. Like Hudson Mohawk, he
yeah.
used all over the Good Music album, and that's one of the sickest Kanye albums. Y'all better quit playing with God. Soon as they like you, make them unlike you. This kissing people ass is so unlike you. The only rapper compared to Michael. So here's a few hating ass niggas to fight you. And here's a few snake ass niggas to bite you. I don't even want to hear about what niggas might do. Old niggas mentally still in high school. Sit the tight jeans, they ain't never like you. Pink ass.
Are there any records of Kanye's that you didn't like? Did you like 808s and Heartbreak, for example? Did you even like that?
At the time, I think I was a bit like, wasn't ready for it. But if you think about now, or even artists like Drake, he kind of took that sound and sort of tweaked it into his own in some ways, I feel.
You sort of think the fact that Kanye even had the balls to make that album.
Yeah.
Where he was at in his career, his record label must have absolutely fucking shat themselves when he said, this is the direction I'm taking with this next one. Do you know what I mean? To roll the dice on it to that level, that in itself, regardless of the quality of the music, just the fact that he made that directional change, that is, you know, you want to talk about an artist, that is artistry, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? I mean, I don't want to...
He flipped it.
I don't want to sound like I've overstated it. Yeah, totally. Like,
he had,
it was fucking mad.
The album before had, like, the Daft Punk, Faster, Strong.
Yes, yeah.
Still probably one of the biggest pop tunes.
Yeah.
And then he just went and did a whole auto-tune, no sample, weird album. Yeah, they must have been like, oh my
God. This is so good, man. Like, Gold Digger smashed, Power smashed.
Yeah.
Let's see what he's... Oh, fucking hell. Do you know what I mean? It's just the first... I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall for that first listen with the A&Rs and the label.
Yeah, I feel like his energy, you'd probably be like, this was kind of shit, but he really sold it to me.
Yeah. And what about live hip-hop? Are you, do you go, have you been to a lot of gigs?
Because of festivals and stuff, like have been to quite a lot of, have seen a lot of live people. Out of my own choice, I have to really like them to go and see them live. Just because of the...
Because what? You hate going to gigs?
I don't hate going to... I just don't like standing, queuing, busy. I'm lazy. If I've got a seat with a good spot, then I'm down.
I'm the same.
I used to be all about, like, getting in amongst it, like, potentially getting, like, a fist bump from, like, one of the group or whatever. Now... I couldn't give a fucking shiny shit about that.
Now I'm leaving.
I just want
when I think it might end because it's busy.
I know.
Beat the rush.
I was like that when I was younger, though. NERD, like front row, screaming at them, trying to get a fist bump.
I know. Crowd surf. And then have you realised that's not even a story?
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like who? Like, nobody gives a fuck about that. And I got a fist bump off them. Oh, cool. That's not something you ever need to say out loud again. Yeah. What do you know what I mean?
Or the track list, maybe sometimes. You get hold of the track list. I did that before.
You've done that. Who did you get a track list?
It was a House of Pain gig. That was quite satisfying, but equally not a good story.
Oh, nice. Everlast.
Yeah, yeah.
And what did it say? Just jump around times 15.
Name three House of Pain
gigs. I know. Jump around the remix. There's a Pete Rock remix.
And
oh god, I had that album. I can't remember any of the other songs. I had the album. Fuck.
Still must be earning off that song.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, I follow Everlast on. I follow him on Instagram. He now looks like a really funky Santa.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen it.
Just sort of.
He's quite interesting. He's quite an interesting person.
He is. That's why I follow him. I think he's...
Is he solo or are they still an entity?
He's solo, but I imagine if, like, the Sultan of Brunei phones up and says that his kid wants Jump Around performed at his birthday party, that they fucking hook up again.
Yeah, that's always on the USB stick, it's number one. If it's not going well, he looks at the DJ and goes...
What's it like? Because you do gigs, obviously, with People Just Do Nothing.
Yeah.
How do other musicians and that sort of react to you? Do they know what's going on?
I think not that a lot of them give a shit, which is what I wouldn't go and see us live, to be honest. But at first, I think they don't know what to expect. They kind of just think
do
like some weird comedy live thing. And then it's just a set, like a good vibe, good, and you just want people to dance and enjoy themselves and like how they would with any other act, really. Just non-stop, boring music, fun, not taking ourselves seriously at all. And generally, like 6 times out of 10, we do a good set. People enjoy it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you have a gig that you've been to as a punter that was like stands out as one of your favourites? Like, is there anyone that's absolutely smashed it?
Yeah, I saw Jay-Z, Kanye at O2 when they were touring together.
Right.
That was really good.
Did they go all out and put on a mad show?
Yeah, it was like, cost them loads of money, I'm sure. But it was their tracks together and then, like, some of the Jay-Z hits, Kanye hits, coming back together. It was just like a journey. Like, sometimes I get bored in a gig. Like because of short attention span, and they might be playing songs that I'm not necessarily know that well, but this was just constant, just bangers, and it was a journey. It wasn't just like the hype tunes. It was, you know, Jay-Z was playing stuff off Reasonable Doubt, and Kanye was doing drop like everything. It was so good. I think I got battered as well, which helped.
Were people getting more excited for one or the other, or was it just
it was an even up that night? Yeah. But they did reload Paris tune 15 times.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Too much. But it was going off, so people were loving it.
I'm shocked too. I'm supposed to be locked up too. You escape, but I escape. You be in Paris getting fucked up too. Also, let's get faded. Libraries for like 6 days. Gold bottles, soul models, spilling ace on my sick days. Also, bitch behave. Just might let you meet gay. Shot towns, B Rose, moving the next.
I saw Drake live before Drake was Roadman Drake, and it got a bit lady, like he was going like, you know, like, you in the back, I see you, I love you, like giving them a rose. Whole crowd in this thing in the sky, just pointing girls out, and I just thought,
handing out CDs to everyone.
Well, yeah, you should have. Could have been a good idea. QR codes at least. But I feel like Drake now.
I went to see Usher with a girl I was seeing at the time years ago, and that thing of where like an R&B star or someone like Drake or whatever will go up to them and go, "London, I've been feeling lonely last couple of nights," and then you just fucking every woman around you just fucking orgasms. It's such a weird experience to be amongst it, isn't it?
It's a bit violating. I didn't want Drake to look at me when he was going.
So, who are you listening to at the moment then?
At the moment, I really like Heady One, his new thing with Fred again. It's called Gang.
Yeah,
Gang, really, that's good. Wicked, yeah.
4 months and I ain't been home. I still say my hair merry when I break each O. Pops don't know if I'm dead or alive. I just got some new bars for this nine. I got nicked up a country while I try to do this grind. Never knew that job be the next time I write. I might wake up in the morning, find myself on a flight. Did a lie when they say I outside of mine. Now they wishing they can get a second out of my time. I got lit, really had to take.
I like JK. I feel like JK is really interesting.
Yeah,
I like artists that aren't from London quite a lot.
Right,
I feel I don't know. It's just interesting and different. Sometimes I feel London gets a bit saturated musically, like the way it comes and everyone does it. Whereas like Manchester, Birmingham, these places, they have their own thing that they're doing, which I like.
Mm.
Cornwall very hard at the moment. Everyone down there.
That sound, they've just got their own kind of completely separate sound. Yeah, it's just mad, isn't it?
It's like folk and drill. Yeah, drill. Hi-hats and folk guitar.
Are you still producing stuff for yourself, outside of People Just Do Nothing stuff? Are you still making...
Not really. Like bedroom beats for myself, but...
Right.
I kind of got sick of it, man. Like, I just felt like doing sessions. Like, I'm trying to think of a bad example of someone. Pixie Lott. That's where I had a strop.
This is enough.
Yeah, I had a strop, and I feel from that point.
So what happened? Were you in the studio with her, and midway through you had like an epiphany or something?
He said, "That's your lot."
Hey, there he is.
Jesus fucking Christ, man.
No, you know what? It felt worky. I'm kind of becoming just like a sort of dickhead.
Facilitator.
Like, making shit that I don't love.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I think I might have a little break.
Is there any, like, if you did decide to go back to it, are there artists that you'd want to collaborate with or make beats?
Yeah,
or?
Definitely, yeah. I'd like to work with Cass Is Dead.
Yeah.
He's one of my favourites. I'm trying to think now. I'm on the spot. Can't think of anyone specifically apart from Cass.
Maybe get back in the studio with Pixie and try and put those ghosts... Yeah. To rest, you know what I mean?
Maybe give her just a folk drill beat or something.
Yeah.
It's weird working with pop stars that level. At that time, they live a whole different life. I was like, fucking hell, this is mad.
But it is a completely different level to even, because obviously you work in TV, you're making a film. Well, you've just made a film that's coming out soon, right?
Yeah, mad.
You know what it's like to be in that kind of, I don't know, that kind of entertainment industry. But musicians above and beyond anyone else, their fucking fame is a different type of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's insane.
And also, like, if they're touring for a long time, they just have so many people around them, like day manager, tour manager, like if you're a big star, security. And like, I went and worked in LA in, so Sam Smith has like a fucking mansion on the hill in LA, and we went and stayed there. And just like, he has like cleaners, maids. It's just like, this is fucking insane life. But I quite like it. But also, not sure if I could do it every day.
No, it's not. Yeah.
But it was sick.
I just don't know how any of them cannot be a dickhead. You are being turned into a out of touch arsehole, aren't you? But like, just every single day.
Yeah, I guess that's a sacrifice. You make good music. Loads of money and you turn to an arsehole.
Yeah.
So.
But then, you know, you never find out, hopefully.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You're just...
You're not on the wise.
I'll pay you and you just tell me that I'm not an arsehole all the time. All right.
Hup. Hup. Well, Hugo, we're almost out of time, but I did mention it. What's People Just Do Nothing have got a film coming out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Hollywood.
Yeah. Out in Hollywood, baby. Joke. No. I don't know when it's coming out because of what's happened.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But it's all shot, though, and finished. Shot. You don't need
Yeah. Good to go. No. It's good to get leaked.
Yeah, you want to get it leaked. There's a captive audience there. This is the time.
Yeah, I might leak it.
Yeah, or just hand it out and stuff. Do you know what I mean? When you're
press it up onto DVDs and be outside.
Yeah, just hand it out when you're on your government mandated exercise. Yeah. Was it a different experience of doing the TV show? Was it a step above in terms of being around the production and stuff like that?
Not really, because we kept the same teams. We didn't want it to become sort of like. Like we didn't want to lose what it was, basically. So we kept the same small team, small crew, everything the same.
Yeah.
The only difference was being in Japan, which is a mad place for 6 weeks.
Is Japan as amazing as people say?
It's fucking mad, but great. I would recommend people to go just to experience how fucking alien it is.
Is it the most like foreign feeling place you've been to?
Yeah, definitely. I felt like I was in a sci-fi film.
Yeah.
A lot of the time.
Is there a hip-hop scene out there? Did you get to see anything out there?
I didn't really get to see it, but there's like a grime scene there.
But they're performing grime, or they're just fans?
No, performing it. They have their own version of it. Their music, like the pop music, is fucking mental.
Yeah,
really? Yeah,
yeah, like J-pop, K-pop.
Yeah,
headache inducing.
Yeah, it's mad. Mm. Go Japan.
That's your plug.
Yeah.
All right, Hugo. Well, listen, thanks a lot for your time, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Good luck on lockdown. Keep yourself safe, guys. Yeah, you know.
We got to
stay home, stay safe.
Got to.
Bye bye.